Welcome to Ready for Change, the podcast dedicated to preparing and equipping you with the tools needed for changes within your industry. I'm your host, Mike Jarmus, and on this podcast, we'll be featuring special guests who are experts in business, retail, and finance. They will share their stories, wisdoms, and insights on changes occurring within their own industries. We'll cover other topics like market trends, technology, news, and innovation in various industries. Thanks for tuning in this week. Now let's get started. Hello, everyone. This is your host, Mike Jarmus. We're going to bring you a special episode today that is not like our typical episodes. Amid the current events, we felt that we need to release this episode to provide some assurance and hope in light of COVID-19. Over the last couple of weeks for some, and months for others, everything has changed drastically. We've had to alter our day-to-day routines and socially distance ourselves. It has affected our communities, our economic well-being, and the lives of millions. And every day, we're hearing something new about the virus and its impact. In this episode, we want to take the time to provide a voice for some of the individuals and companies that are still working to provide us services, goods, and food during this challenging period. So today, we'll be talking about what banks, grocery stores, and other critical businesses are doing to service communities while protecting their employees and customers. I've had the opportunity to speak to medical professionals and those in multiple industries over the last couple of days. I've heard many amazing stories that have touched me from the many who have reached out to us for this episode. Many of these stories are about businesses that are going above and beyond to help people. Unfortunately, we won't be able to tell all these stories today, but only be able to share a few. For our listeners that are in the financial or retail industries, or even those who aren't, this episode is also meant to help guide you in understanding what the health and science professionals would like for you to do, but also help provide specific examples of what other companies are doing today to help fight this pandemic. In this episode, you'll first hear insights about retailers who are altering their operations. Next, we will discuss the proper methods recommended by public health professionals in order to protect your employees and customers. Finally, we will hear from financial institutions and several businesses that have adjusted their operations because of COVID-19's impact and what they're doing to stay fully operational during this time. Our mission today is to try to provide guidance amid all the conflicting, incorrect, or even misinformation you might have heard. We here at Glory are not science or health professionals, but we are here to help shed light on the procedures recommended by public health professionals and to be the voice of clarity. For this reason, we have structured this episode around the stories of several businesses and banks that are still operating in the midst of this trying time. They will discuss what they are doing today and the measures that their frontline employees are taking to protect every single customer. And before we start, I want to thank all you for listening and for each professional that took the time to comment, respond, or record on this episode. And last but not least, I want to sincerely thank the essential workers and professionals that are working to keep us safe every day. For consumers, businesses, and communities, the COVID-19 pandemic has created unprecedented challenges for us all. However, many essential retailers and grocery stores are showing it's possible to safely serve and give back to those in need in their communities. Just to provide a few examples, retailers are stepping up to dedicate their first hours of operation to senior customers. They are also implementing sanitization and cleaning procedures and are even creating sanitization stations that include wipes and tissues. Other similar retailers like Love's Travel Shops have stepped up and are doing small but meaningful gestures like providing free fountain drink beverages to first responders and healthcare professionals, while Dollar General is also offering a 10% discount to medical professionals. Through Glory's partner, we reached out to Pilot Flying J convenience stores and gas stations for a comment on what actions they are taking to protect their customers and employees during this period. While he's extremely busy at the time, Pilot Flying J's Vice President of Finance,
David Clothier,
graciously provided a written statement via email on what steps their company was taking. In the response, David stated that they have implemented extensive sanitization and cleaning training sessions for field personnel. They've also issued an every 4-hour cleaning and sanitization rule throughout all their stores and are sending out daily communications with safety protocols as well as important updates to their team members. Large name retailers are also doing their part to support their business partners and local communities. For instance, Walmart and Sam's Club are pledging to onboard and hire thousands of part and full-time associates to assist with increasing demands. They've made efforts to speed up payments to their suppliers and waive the rent for the month of April for more than 10,000 businesses that operate in their stores. To support some of those retailers, financial institutions like Fifth Third Bank have proactively changed their operations to better suit their customers' needs. I recently had the opportunity to interview their Director of Commercial Payments and Treasury Management, Bridget Shiat. As a commercial bank that's been around over 100 years, Fifth Third primarily focuses on servicing middle market, large corporate, and small businesses. Similar to their retail clients, Bridget discussed some of the actions that their branches were taking to protect their employees and customers. Here's a clip from the portion of our interview.
So Fifth Third Bank has distributed communications to our clients that largely follow the guidance that's been given by both the government and the health industry. But we've also made sure that what we've done for technical resources, that they're able to provide on-site service assurances to our customers. That includes outlining greeting screens, instructions, or cleaning instructions on high touch points of the devices. These approaches need to be flexible, as each of our customers may have additional protocols they would like us to follow. And they also need to be respectful of the interactions that we have with our customers and their clients. We think that the more proactive those communications are and the more open they are to change and adaption as we work through this time period is critical.
She also took the time to comment on how quickly their retail clients responded to the current situation.
So throughout history, disruption has borne creativity and innovation. And it's also been fueled by this sense of urgency for what needs to get done quickly and how. So we have great admiration for how we have seen restaurants, retailers, travel centers, logistics, all have shifted their delivery channels to bring their services to their very loyal client base. And as you said, very essential client base. So we're committed to adjusting with them. This isn't only our customers we're serving our customers' customers, and we take that seriously.
At a time like this, it's equally important for both financial institutions and retailers to be there for their customers. But in my opinion, the best way to be there for your customers and the communities that you serve is by providing options that accommodate everyone's needs. One in particular is cash. For many individuals, families, and even small businesses, cash is still the most reliable form of payment. It helps them control their cash flow, puts food on their tables, and allows them to purchase the items they need. To add to this, Pilot Flying J's statement also mentioned the role that cash played in relation to their role in financial inclusion. David stated that their company feels an obligation to their guests and the U.S. transportation industry to still accept cash. In order to do this and keep their employees safe with handling this type of payment, as well as any other, they're advising their employees to frequently wash their hands and use protective gloves as they see fit. Bridget also commented on the role of cash in society during our interview. She stated,
at Fifth Third Bank, we do believe that cash is important to generating commerce in the communities in which we serve, that that's part of the backbone of our country. And we know that at times when economies are challenged, consumers turn to cash. It gives them more of a feeling of self-control in times that don't offer a whole lot of other areas of control. So the financial strength of our organization, of Fifth Third, and our commitment to our customers, we want to make sure that we're supporting all their payment needs. But unlike maybe some of our other competitors, we still believe that cash is a very critical part of those payment choices, and we will be there to make sure we meet those needs.
And while there are many businesses and retailers that are still accepting cash, there are others that have encouraged their customers to use card or contactless payments for safety reasons. Across the UK, payment providers have raised the contactless payment limit from £30 to £45, which allows consumers to use payments without entering their PIN numbers. They have issued these changes in hopes of helping shops reduce the need of physical contact between cashiers and customers. However, customers still must touch the PIN pad to enter their PIN for transactions over £45 and touch their card or mobile devices, which have been proven to carry much higher levels of germs than cash. As a result, some retailers have encouraged the use of these payment options due to a misquoted statement from the World Health Organization, which was published in the Telegraph UK. Within the article, it is stated, "Banknotes may be spreading the new coronavirus, so people should try to use contactless payments instead." But since the statement was released, the WHO has clarified that banknotes or cash are not transmission routes for COVID-19. In reality, the best method for anyone that touches, interacts, or comes in contact with any physical surface is to frequently wash your hands. Per the recommendations from the Center for Disease Control and the WHO, it is best that all essential workers and shoppers sanitize often, practice social distancing, proper respiratory hygiene, cough etiquette, and understand how to thoroughly wash their hands. For further instructions and information, please visit www.cdc.gov or www.who.int. The links to these resources and more will also be available within this episode's show notes. These same recommended safety practices do not just apply to those in the retail industry. Other essential businesses like banks can use this information to help slow the spread of the virus. And for this reason, I want to share with you some stories from organizations in the financial industry that have been impacted by the current pandemic. I was fortunate enough to speak with several experts and professionals within the banking industry about their company's reactions to the events of today. One of the first interviews I held was with EJ Kritz, the director of training at 8th Power Consulting, which is providing consulting services to the financial services industry. EJ has worked in executive roles for major financial institutions such as TD and Santander. In his current role, he utilizes his company's research to consult and train banks to improve their bottom line performance. During this critical time, he has helped, advised, and provided solutions for institutions to better handle the situation. I will let you hear from EJ in his own words.
We're seeing a number of different things happening throughout the industry on both the customer experience side and the employee experience side. Certainly from the customer side of the equation, we're seeing banks truly evolve the way they service their customers face-to-face. So on the retail side of the business, if you consider changes to branch hours, we're seeing a number of institutions move to drive-up only, move to lobby by appointment, and also expanding their offering of call center service hours. So really giving customers alternate ways to do their banking while still having as much of that interpersonal communication as possible. Another thing that we're certainly seeing from a customer experience standpoint, a lot of media around loan programs, loan forgiveness, some areas of the country offering flexible payment options on retail mortgages, on car payments, on credit card payments. And we see those things pocketed both regionally, but also at an institutional level. Those are some of the customer-facing things. You know, on the employee side, TD Bank, Wells Fargo, they have announced bonuses for employees that cannot work from home. Folks like branch employees, folks like call center employees, I think that's great. We're seeing a number of the mid-sized banks start to look at alternate work hours. So branch employees, they work from home one week, they work from the branch the next. That's great for both the employee experience, but it's also smart to help to reduce the spread of COVID-19 and have sort of for every branch, they've got two teams coming in and coming out in alternating weeks. So I think that these are some really smart ideas from an employee experience standpoint.
EJ also shared a few more stories of what he is seeing and what he would like others in the industry to consider in order to help everyone that is impacted.
Yeah, there's a couple great ways, Mike, that banks and credit unions can really support the communities right now. And the first one is really making money available and lending to businesses and nonprofit organizations that need more flexibility right now. So despite the government stimulus package, there's still a need, and small businesses are still going to need flexibility, funds, lines of credit, and access to cash. We saw a great story, an unfortunate, but a great story in the news yesterday of a pizzeria in New Jersey that was able to secure a $50,000 loan to continue to pay their employees. So I think those stories are ones that we need to continue to hear. And banks need to fast track this money, and they need to find ways to make their underwriting processes smoother and faster and less cumbersome for the businesses that need money quickly to keep people employed. The second thing that I'd really like to ask the banks out there to look at, and they already are, but to continue to do so, is to dip into their charitable funds. So most banks have charitable foundations, and to really look at the areas that need those resources the most today, typically in areas like healthcare, to donate foundation funds to healthcare organizations, to childcare organizations, and to really dig deep. We do really great work in this area during natural disasters. We see banks and credit unions all the time in these times of natural disaster needs, donating to the Red Cross, donating to area shelters, and doing that work. And this is the same thing, but worse. So really thinking about the parts of the community that need those funds the most, and making it easier for nonprofit organizations to get access to charitable fund work and funds from banks and credit unions. Now's the time to really make sure we do that.
Alongside EJ's perspective as an outside consultant, I also had the opportunity to speak to Tracy Miller, the Senior Vice President of Operations at Pioneer Federal Credit Union, which has a 14-branch network in the Idaho region. She first provided me some insights on how they are being directly impacted.
Pioneer Federal Credit Union is actually in a pretty good position because we had already started a lot of video communication with our members. We actually run ITMs, which is almost like an ATM that has a teller that comes on the front screen that can perform just about any teller duty that you can do inside of one of our branches other than handing out a debit card, but it handles all of our cash transactions. We actually have 12 locations that have them. We have 13. We have a remote location that runs one. And then we also run My Pioneer Personal Assistant app, which is actually a Pop.io product. And that allows our members to get onto their mobile phones or onto their desktops, and they can actually talk to us remotely as if they were FaceTiming. And through them, we can continue to do accounts, loans, wires, pretty much any service that we would be able to do at a member service desk in one of our branches. And then we're also allowing our members to do appointments, especially business accounts that we have in our local area, because we are community chartered. We have a very good relationship with them. So we're actually doing lobby appointments to keep our lobbies with a controlled amount of people in them so that we can continue to service the ones that we can't continue to service over those remote platforms. And it's actually working out very well for us. As of right now, all of our lobbies are actually closed and they're only open for appointment only.
Tracy then went on to discuss the actions Pioneer has taken to service and protect both their employees and their customers.
We have, especially for our employees, the employees that we do have working that can rework remotely from home have been asked to work from home. Our administration building is probably the emptiest I've seen it in my 12 years working here at the credit union. So we're trying to limit the amount of people that have to be in the building to essential staff that need to be here to do their jobs. That would include like our call center agents or our video contact center agents so that we can make sure that we're limiting the amount of people in one space. For our employees as well, we're asking them to make sure you wear gloves, that you're washing your hands after you're handling cash. Just make sure that we're wiping down stations as often as possible, even if it's your station. And then we have our cleaning companies coming in more often to make sure that high touch areas are being wiped down every single day to make sure that we're not really leaving anything inside the building to chance. Our team's going out to our machines very regularly, and they are wiping down our screens with disinfectant just to make sure that we are doing our best to try to keep them as clean as possible, understanding what's going on. And then a lot of communication out to our members to remind them that you can wear gloves and touch the screens to get a teller. We are really pushing out a lot of communication about our remote platform so that members don't have to leave their homes if they don't feel comfortable, so that they can continue to get what they need from us without really walking out the door. And then our CEO has done a very, very good job of reminding our members that we're financially sound. We're a sound credit union. We'll get through this. Their money's still safe with us. It is insured with NCUA. So we're really putting out a lot of really good communication to our members, making sure that our platforms are safe for them and that we're giving them options to be able to service from home and not have to leave the comforts of their own home.
The most uplifting part of my interview with Tracy was when she shared what Pioneer Federal Credit Union is doing to help those most impacted during this difficult time.
We still are offering, obviously, cash services across our machines, appointments in our lobby for our members that need to come in and speak to us directly. We actually have a full website that has a member assistance center on it that lets our members know what we have available to help them. Right now, we have activated a reduced rate signature loan, which has a flat of 3%. It is up to that we will lead up to 2 months of their regular monthly salary, not to exceed over $10,000. With no payments for 90 days with a maximum 24-month term, so that it gives them some flexibility, especially if this does last, that with no payments for 90 days, they can hopefully continue to pay the bills that they need to get the supplies that their family needs. For our members that already have loans with us, we're actually offering skipper pays on most of our loans, signature loans, auto loans, RVs, motorcycles, credit builders, secured loans. We're offering a skipper pay on those to help our members as well, so that they don't have to worry about making that payment, so that they can have that little bit more buffer. We're also a partner with GreenPath Financial Wellness, and they have a lot of financial counselors. So if our members needed to contact them, they're readily available. We also see an uptick of fraud in cases like this, and we do have ID theft as well. And we make sure that our members know that we have them protected in every angle we possibly can. We have not really shut down any services that we truly offer, other than you would have to make an appointment to come into the lobby if you needed to pick up a debit card or you needed to pick up a cashier's check, because they're not available across our remote services. But once again, we're doing that by appointment so that we know who's in our lobby, that the lobbies are cleaned down after everybody leaves to keep both our employees and our members safe.
Finally, I want to share the story of another group in the banking industry that is going out of their way to help their financial institution customers and the end customer like yourself. They are the service providers. I spoke with Gene Pranger, the CEO of Pop.io, a technology provider for the industry that provides video banking collaboration software. Gene gave us some insights into what actions he has seen his clients take to protect their employees and their customers.
There are many policies that are currently being put into place. Nearly every one of our clients are shutting their lobbies. And so how they're handling most of the traffic today is through their drive-up or their 24-hour vestibules, and they're cleaning their 24-hour vestibules on a frequent basis as well. That seems to be, if you want to have a physical presence and still maintain that for your guests that are coming to the lobbies or the branch experience, and that's probably the two best methods. I was talking to another financial institution where they're standing at the door and they're only letting two people in at a time. But still, I think that's problematic given kind of the social distancing that we're wanting to experience. But I really feel like that if we can help move consumers to more digital channels, including a video-based channel, I think that pretty well answers most of the solution of the retail traffic that people are seeing in branch lobbies today.
He also stated which financial institutions are likely the ones to be impacted and the challenges they face.
We have decided at the very beginning of this pandemic that we looked at the landscape, and there are literally 8,000 different financial institutions throughout the United States, some really quite small and others very, very large. The large ones, I think, are going to be just fine. The smaller ones are going to have difficulty to figure out from a staffing perspective as well as just from a technology perspective, how do I address the requirements of my customers?
He later shared with me exactly how his company's products are making financial institutions' lives easier when continuing to conduct their business while also protecting everyone.
I invented the concept of video banking over 20 years ago now, and I first started out with the ITM, which is an interactive teller machine. And I then developed the concept of mobile video as well as the in-branch experience. The in-branch experience has been around a little bit. But the reason why this solution is such a perfect fit for this pandemic situation, it allows people to have face-to-face contact with a qualified financial service representative that can either be located in a video central call center, or they can be disbanded to multiple locations. They can work directly from their home or their cabin or wherever they may be at. And so they can still collaborate. They can share documents. They can share signatures. There's workflows that are involved. They can deposit checks through our system. And so literally anything that you can do inside of a branch today, face-to-face, you can do over a mobile video platform, with the exception of dispensing actual cash and coin.
Gene's team is actively trying to reach out and make themselves available to the financial institutions that are most impacted by the pandemic. These are some amazing stories of what is going on today in the banking sector. As I mentioned earlier, the challenges the retail industry is facing are also many of the same challenges the banking industry is facing when being safety conscious while providing all these services to their customers. One of the most important services is handling cash and coin deposits and withdrawals. The reason cash is so important can be best described by a 2018 G4S Global Cash Report, in which it revealed that cash remains the most widely used payment instrument in the world on all continents, and 75% of countries reported that cash was used in over 50% of transactions. It also noted the report that for many people, it is the only viable payment method. Businesses that stop using cash are excluding a material portion of society. They risk losing customers and impacting much of the population that are potentially the most affected by COVID-19. EJ Kritz and I also discussed this point in his interview.
So, Mike, as it relates to access to cash, this is actually an area that I'm pretty passionate about because we have had some interchange with some banks and credit unions asking that exact question, really from a safety standpoint. And so asking, should we still be taking in cash? Should we still be giving cash? Do we need to change how often we clean our cash recycler or our ATMs? But more to the point of banks asking the question around, should we just stop handling cash? My very fast and passionate answer is no. And this is more of a personal thing. Americans and core groups of Americans love cash and feel comfortable with cash. Cash is a security blanket for countless numbers of Americans. And oh, by the way, the group of Americans that feels most passionate about cash is also the group of Americans that is being hit the hardest and is most susceptible to the horrible impact of COVID-19. I would be hard-pressed to tell a 75-year-old senior citizen, I'm sorry, we can't give you cash. I can only imagine how that customer would feel not being able to have cash, something that makes them feel safe, secure, and comfortable. So I would literally ask banks and credit unions across this country, for the morale of Americans, particularly those that are most susceptible to this horrible virus, please continue to offer access to cash and just protect your employees and keep them safe through distancing and through great hygiene of frequent hand washing and access to hand sanitizer when using cash. But please do not stop giving Americans access to cash.
While EJ highlighted the potential personal impact on each and every one of us, Gene Pranger painted a different picture of why having access to cash is also very important to our economies and their recovery in the future.
Well, financial institutions overall are a critical component to the economic comeback and stability of a community. Having access to cash or just access to financial instruments, whatever those might be, is just not critical, but it's the only thing that will help get the economy going again, because we're just sitting kind of really right at the bare bottom as we approach not even the crest of this pandemic wave. So the result is that financial institutions still have to maintain a presence, and they have to maintain a very active presence as to help people get through this strong unemployment cycle that we're going to be seeing over the next 3 to 4 months, as well as through these late payments that will be occurring because of the unemployment that is occurring as well. And so I'm sensing that having access not just to cash, but having access to solid financial answers and solutions that addresses the needs of the consumers at the moment of need is really going to be the most compelling thing a financial institution can provide.
In my interviews with all these industry experts, I asked them about what recommendations that they had for others in the industry to keep their employees and customers safe when handling cash. Gene provided some very practical recommendations that I believe others could benefit from hearing.
Well, cash is still a critical component of our economy. And so, I mean, inside of the branch environment, if they're handling cash or for the drivers that are restocking the machines, they are going to have to be wearing the protective hand gear. And I would also suspect that the same issue will be going on with the consumers that are receiving the cash. It's not unlikely or unrecommended that people should, once they get cash out of a recycler or an ATM or through a live teller, they should just take it home, you know, set it out, lay it on a table or something, and just kind of let it air dry for a day or two, and then pick it up again. I think that provides kind of the safety net that consumers are looking for, and it's just good standard conduct. If you're working with the cash on a day in and day out basis, obviously, cleaning your hands on a frequent basis is critical.
I know in this episode we have covered a lot, but I hope it has been insightful and allowed you to hear the stories of the essential businesses that are still providing critical services to our communities. These stories illustrate the measures that they are taking to protect their employees and customers during these difficult times. I also hope that some of the insights featured have helped clear up confusion regarding best safety practices and highlighted the various methods that business owners can use to continuously conduct their business during this pandemic. With that in mind, I'd like to close the episode with 3 ideas for you to consider. The first being, a fully contactless experience is not realistic. Whether you're going to the grocery store for food or going to the bank to make a deposit, you still interact and touch many different services, from the doors to the shopping carts to the products on the shelves. Luckily, the guidelines given by medical professionals and scientists can help you reduce your risk of contracting or transmitting COVID-19 if you follow them. This includes washing your hands frequently, sanitizing before entering and after leaving a place of business, and maintaining social distancing. Second, it's really important that in addition to card and mobile payments, businesses continue to accept cash. It is great that businesses are able to continue providing their services to their local communities, but it's also important that they safely provide access to all the payment options. Many people, both in the US and across the globe, still rely on cash to purchase food and goods. And in some cases, it's the only option for them. So as you continue to operate, be sure to follow the safety guidelines provided by the public health and medical professionals to ensure the safety of everyone. Finally, I'd like to leave you with this. Be compassionate. Unexpectedly, EJ agreed with me and made this plea to everyone.
So you might expect that my answer would have something to do with social distancing or sanitizing. I'm not going to give that answer because I think everybody's heard that loud and clear at this point. Tellers should be 6 feet away from each other. Computers and hardware should be cleaned on the daily, if not more. My answer is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to ask that for the sake of both the employee and customer experience and safety, that we empathize with one another, that we have patience with one another, that we have an understanding, that we communicate. I know I can't wait to have a conversation face to face with somebody who's not a blood relative. So for that customer that goes through the drive-thru to deposit their stimulus check or get some access to cash, you know what? don't make it just a transaction. Have a conversation, engage in some small talk, because safety also comes with mental health and feeling good and having a great day. And we need each other right now more than any time in our history. And we are a world that through text and through social media and through social gathering, we communicate now more than any time in our history. And now we're being expected to communicate less. So for the safety of our employees, for the safety of our customers, I ask that you be empathetic, that you be kind, that you be patient, but that you communicate and you have small talk and you ask open-ended questions and you engage with one another as human beings, not as banker and as customer. And I think that that's a great way to keep us safe from even a mental health standpoint.
I could not agree more with him. There are plenty of people that are anxious, stressed, upset, and in some cases, just outright scared. During this time, we need to have compassion for others. Treat each other well, be patient with each other, and most importantly, be there for one another. If we can do this, I believe it will not only help us get through this trying time, but it will help us be stronger than ever. And again, in closing, thank you to all the public health and medical professionals that are getting up and showing up to help save many lives. I'd also like to thank the essential workers that keep our grocery stores, convenience stores, and even logistical services up and running. I'm sure I've missed others, but thank you. Our team at Glory thanks you. I thank you. My family thanks you. I'm aware that what you are doing is not easy, but we greatly appreciate all that you are doing. Now, everyone, go and wash your hands. Thank you for listening to Ready for Change. If you like what you heard, please leave us a positive review and share this episode with a colleague or friend. And be sure to subscribe to Ready for Change on www.glory-global.com/ready-for-change. Or you can find us on Apple Podcasts and other major podcast channels in order for you to never miss an upcoming episode. If you have any additional questions or suggestions, be sure to email us at readyforchange@glory-global.com. Until next time, prepare for change.